It's been 20 years since the Bali bombings happened in Indonesia, killing more than 200 people and more were injured. Many attended a memorial service to commemorate the event in Bali and to remember those affected. But the event also shook the diplomatic relations between Australia and Indonesia. While at the beginning both countries spoke greatly of each other, now 20 years later, both countries are apart from each other. Academics suggest Australia needs to support Indonesia with establishing more collaborations and reinstating the support aid for counterterrorism. I started asking Professor of Asian Law at Monash University Tim Lindsay how complex the Bali bombings have been for both countries.
It was a catastrophic event, the moment when the international war on terror came to Australia, even if it was offshore in Australia's favourite holiday resort, Bali. And initially, the then Foreign Minister, Alexander Downer, was very worried that it would drive a wedge between the two countries and that the public in each country would be blaming each other. And, for example, the Australians would start viewing Indonesians as killers and so forth. But actually, the opposite happened. It, in fact, brought the countries together because they were the two countries that suffered the largest loss of life in the attack. And, in fact, in reality, the governments of both countries were targets of international Islamism. The group called Jamaah Islamiyah, which carried out the attack, was a splinter from an earlier group called Darul Islam, which had been working to overthrow the Indonesian government since the 1940s. So JI's targets weren't just the West. It had always seen the Indonesian government.
Now, in your expertise, how's the relationship at this point, 20 years after, between Australia and Indonesia?
Well, I think the two countries have drifted apart since that time and have more or less reverted to the usual position for Australia and Indonesia, which is that although we're neighbours, we really don't engage much with each other. A number of events led to that. In terms of the police-to-police cooperation, there was a sense among Indonesian police that Australia wanted too much credit for the destruction of Jamaah Islamiyah, its crushing. But really, the main reason is that the usual events that generate tension between the two countries disrupted the relationship. And these are inevitable. There was in particular the execution of the two Bali Nine members, Sukumaran and Chan, who were caught in Bali trying to smuggle drugs, heroin into Australia. There was a decision of the Gillard government to halt live cattle exports to Indonesia. And the discovery that Australia had been tapping the phone of the Indonesian president, Yudhoyono, and his family. And then under Prime Minister Abbott, there were savage cuts to our aid program, which saw Australia walk away from a lot of the counter-extremism programs that had been funding, including abandoning its Islamic education program.
Now, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of events happening after the bombings, and there were a lot of discussions where the death penalty was discussed in both nations. Is there a double standard on the topic, you think?
Well, there was at that time. When the Bali bombers, Amrozi Mukhlas and Imam Samudra, were sentenced to death, which was about a year after the bombings, it was greeted with enthusiasm in Australia, and the then Prime Minister John Howard endorsed the execution, saying it would be an injustice that they didn't proceed, and later Labor leader Kevin Rudd also agreed that the three men deserved that fate. And while it reflected a mood in Australia at the time, was a mistake, I think, by these leaders, because Australia abolished the death penalty some time ago and has been a principled advocate of termination of the death penalty of abolition. So when Mayuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan, the Australian Bali Nine drug smugglers, were sentenced to death in 2006, those earlier comments endorsing the death penalty for the Bali bombers made it extremely difficult for Australia to advocate for mercy for these two men.
We have a new government, the Albanese government, and it's focusing more on its neighbours. I mean, we've seen Anthony Albanese and Penny Wong going to the Pacific, and also they've been to Indonesia as well. Would it be possible to regain the trust between both countries?
It's not so much that Indonesia doesn't trust us. There are always difficulties in the Australia-Indonesia relationship because Indonesia doesn't really get on well with any of its neighbours. It has tensions also with Singapore and Malaysia. So we're not particularly unusual, we're just not very important, and that's because we're a very low-ranked trade and investment partner. We invest more in Luxembourg than we do in Indonesia, which is really crazy. So we're just not really a major player in Indonesia. It was great that Albanese and Wong made that trip early on straight to Jakarta and met with President Jokowi. That hit all the right buttons. But in order to create a stronger and closer relationship to Indonesia and position ourselves better to receive some benefit from its spectacular economic growth of 5% or more, we need to spend some money in Indonesia. Government needs to invest again in Indonesia. We need to increase our aid program.
That was Professor of Asian Law at Monash University, Tim Lindsay.